Welcome to your GCSE Business Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most important topics you'll face in your exam: legislation and its impact on business. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdXL, or OCR, this topic comes up every single year, and students who understand it well can pick up marks really quickly. So let's get started. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to name the key pieces of legislation, explain how they affect businesses, evaluate the costs and benefits of compliance, and, crucially, answer exam questions in a way that earns you top marks. Sound good? Let's go. Section 1. Why does legislation matter to businesses? First things first, what is legislation? Simply put, legislation is the law. Parliament passes acts of Parliament, and businesses must follow them. If they don't, they face serious consequences: fines, legal action, damage to their reputation, and in extreme cases, being forced to close. Now, here's the key thing. Examiners want you to understand. Legislation affects every single functional area of a business. That means human resources, finance, operations, and marketing are all impacted. Examiners love it when candidates make these links, so keep that in mind throughout this podcast. There are three main categories of legislation you need to know: employment law, health and safety law, and consumer law. Let's go through each one in detail. Section 2, employment law. Employment law governs the relationship between employers and employees. The three most important pieces you need to know are the Equality Act, 2010, the National Minimum Wage Act, 1998, and the Employment Rights Act, 1996. Let's start with the Equality Act, 2010. This act brought together 9 previous pieces of anti-discrimination legislation into one. It protects employees and job applicants from discrimination based on what are called protected characteristics. These include age, disability, gender reassignment, marriage and civil partnership, pregnancy and maternity, race, religion or belief, sex, and sexual orientation. That's 9 protected characteristics, and you should know at least 4 or 5 of them for your exam. How does this affect businesses? Well, it means businesses must ensure their recruitment processes are fair and non-discriminatory. They cannot advertise a job in a way that excludes certain groups. They must make reasonable adjustments for disabled employees, and they must ensure equal pay for equal work. This increases costs. Businesses need HR training, updated recruitment policies, and potentially legal advice. However, the benefits are significant too. A diverse workforce brings different perspectives, increases creativity, and improves staff morale. Next up, the National Minimum Wage Act, 1998. This act requires employers to pay workers at least the legal minimum hourly rate. In the UK, there are different rates depending on age. The national living wage for workers aged 21 and over has been over £11 per hour, while younger workers and apprentices receive lower rates. The rates are reviewed every April by the government based on recommendations from the Low Pay Commission. For businesses, this directly increases labor costs. A small business employing 10 part-time workers on minimum wage will see its wage bill rise every time the rate increases. This can squeeze profit margins, particularly for businesses in retail, hospitality, and care sectors where low-wage workers are common. However, paying fair wages also motivates staff, reduces turnover, and can improve productivity. So there are genuine benefits too. The Employment Rights Act, 1996, is a broader piece of legislation that covers things like the right to a written contract of employment, protection against unfair dismissal, and redundancy rights. Businesses must provide employees with a written statement of employment particulars within 2 months of starting work. Failing to do so can result in employment tribunal claims. Section 3, Health and Safety Law. Now let's move to health and safety law. The cornerstone here is the Health and Safety at Work Act, 1974, often abbreviated to HSAWA. This is one of the most important pieces of legislation in UK business history. The Act places a duty of care on employers to ensure, so far as is reasonably practicable, the health, safety, and welfare of all employees at work. It also extends this duty to non-employees. That includes customers, visitors, and members of the public who might be affected by the business's activities. What does this mean in practice? Businesses must carry out risk assessments to identify hazards in the workplace. They must provide appropriate personal protective equipment, PPE, where necessary. They must ensure machinery and equipment is safe to use. They must provide adequate training on health and safety procedures, and they must have a written health and safety policy if they employ 5 or more people. The consequences of failing to comply with HACCPA are severe. The Health and Safety Executive, the HSE, can inspect businesses, issue improvement notices, and prosecute businesses that breach the law. Fines can run into millions of pounds for large organizations. In 2016, for example, Merlin Entertainments, the company behind Alton Towers, was fined £5 million following the Smiler roller coaster accident in 2015, in which 5 people were seriously injured. But here's the positive side. A safe working environment reduces accidents, which means fewer days lost to injury, lower insurance premiums, and a more motivated workforce. Employees who feel safe at work are more productive and more loyal. So while compliance costs money up front, it saves money in the long run. The Management of Health and Safety at Work Regulations 1999 built on HACCPA and specifically required employers to conduct formal, documented risk assessments. This means businesses must actively identify risks, not just react to accidents after they happen. Section 4, consumer law. Our third category is consumer law. This protects the people who buy goods and services from businesses. The most important piece of consumer legislation at GCSE level is the Consumer Rights Act 2015. This replaced several older pieces of legislation and sets out the rights of consumers when they purchase goods, services, or digital content. Under this act, goods must be of satisfactory quality, meaning they should not be faulty or damaged. They must be fit for purpose, meaning they should do what the consumer reasonably expects them to do. And they must be as described, meaning they must match any description given by the seller. If goods fail to meet these standards, consumers have the right to a repair, replacement, or refund. For businesses, this means they must have clear returns, policies, quality control processes, and customer service teams capable of handling complaints. Failure to comply can result in trading standards investigations, fines, and serious reputational damage. The Trade Descriptions Act 1968 is also important. This makes it a criminal offense for businesses to make false or misleading statements about their products or services. A business cannot claim a product is 100% natural if it contains artificial ingredients. It cannot advertise a car as having done 20,000 miles if it has actually done 80,000. Violations can result in criminal prosecution, unlimited fines, and imprisonment. For the marketing functional area, this is particularly relevant. Marketing teams must ensure all advertising, packaging, and product descriptions are accurate and not misleading. This adds a compliance burden, but it also builds consumer trust, which is essential for long-term business success. Section 5, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk about how to actually score marks in the exam. This is where a lot of students lose points unnecessarily. The most common mistake is focusing too much on what the law says rather than what it means for the business. Examiners do not want you to recite the entire Equality Act 2010. They want you to explain how it affects a business's costs, operations, and strategy. Always bring your answer back to the business impact. The second common mistake is failing to evaluate. Many questions at GCSE level ask you to assess or evaluate. These command words require you to weigh up both sides and reach a judgment. For legislation questions, this means discussing both the costs of compliance and the benefits. Don't just list costs. That will only get you into the lower mark bands. The third mistake is not linking legislation to the 4 functional areas. If a question asks how legislation affects a business, try to mention at least 2 functional areas. For example, the Equality Act 2010 affects the human resources function because it requires fair recruitment processes, which increases training costs. It also affects the finance function because businesses may need to allocate budget for legal advice and HR administration. Now let's talk command words. Describe questions, usually worth 1 or 2 marks, just need you to state what something is with a brief explanation. Explain questions, usually 3 to 4 marks, need you to develop your point with a reason. Assess or evaluate questions, usually 6 marks or more, need a balanced argument with a conclusion. For 6 mark evaluate questions, use this structure: point, evidence, explain, counterargument, conclusion. That's PEC. Point, evidence, explain, counter. Make your judgment clear in the conclusion. One more tip: use real-world examples wherever you can. Mentioning a named business, like Amazon's compliance with employment law or Tesco's approach to consumer rights, immediately signals to the examiner that you understand how legislation works in practice. Section 6. Quickfire recall quiz.
Okay,
time to test yourself. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What year was the Health and Safety at Work Act passed?
Think about it.
The answer is 1974. Question 2. Name 3 protected characteristics under the Equality Act 2010. Think. Examples include age, disability, race, sex, religion or belief, sexual orientation, pregnancy and maternity, gender reassignment and marriage, and civil partnership. Question 3. What does the Consumer Rights Act of 2015 say goods must be? Think. Goods must be of satisfactory quality, fit for purpose, and as described. Question 4. What is the name of the government body that enforces health and safety law? Think. The Health and Safety Executive, the HSE. Question 5. Give one cost and one benefit of complying with the National Minimum Wage Act. Think. A cost is increased, wage bills for businesses. A benefit is improved, staff motivation and reduced turnover. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed a few, go back and review those sections. Section 7, summary and sign-off. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. Number 1. There are 3 main categories of business legislation: employment law, health and safety law, and consumer law. Number 2, the key acts are the Equality Act 2010, the National Minimum Wage Act 1998, the Health and Safety at Work Act 1974, the Consumer Rights Act 2015, and the Trade Descriptions Act 1968. Number 3, legislation affects all 4 functional areas of a business: human resources, finance, operations, and marketing. Number 4, compliance has both costs: training, equipment, administration, and benefits, motivated staff, positive reputation, avoidance of fines. Number 5, in the exam, always focus on the business impact of legislation, not just what the law says. Evaluate both sides and reach a clear judgment. That's it for today's episode. You've covered a huge amount of ground. Well done for sticking with it. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark counts. Good luck in your exams. You've got this.